Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing those who were ill. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip,
"Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?"
He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him,
"It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite."
Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up.
"Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many?"
Jesus said,
"Make the people sit down."
There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples,
"Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted."
So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself.
Great. We're going to spend a few minutes thinking about that Bible passage. And our title today is When I Don't Have Enough. I'm sure a few of us can forget those scenes from March last year of supermarket shelves without any toilet paper on, with very little toilet paper. What are we going to do? Panic. When I don't have enough toilet paper. That's a bad situation that we faced back in March. Pasta as well. And Brexit has led to various problems on the continent and other places too. So apparently the Belgians were running short of custard creams. The shelves at the M&S in Brussels were sort of bare, according to the news. When I don't have enough cake to go around the whole family. There's an argument over who's going to get the last bit of cake. I don't know if you ever had those in your family home. And I suppose we can face this question more seriously at other times, can't we? When I don't have enough money to pay the bills. When I don't have enough time to get everything done, or I don't have enough energy to keep going. These are common experiences that we're facing particularly sharply at the moment. And the story that we're looking at in the Bible today, it's a true story, is a story that shows us that Jesus is present in those moments. Jesus is there with us. And that means, Christians, brothers and sisters, we can trust him. We can trust him when it feels like we don't have enough, when actually we don't have enough. And for those who are still thinking through the Christian faith, whether Jesus is a good person to follow and to obey, well, I hope this will help you to see more clearly as well that Jesus is trustworthy. We can trust him when we don't have enough. And there are 3 details in the story that I'd like to focus in on. It's a story that I guess is quite well known. It's one of the favourite children's Bible stories. But there are 3 details here that I want us just to linger on. And they're quite surprising in some ways. The first is this. It's that Jesus provides. Now, in some ways, this is so obvious that it's not a surprise. But when you stop and think about it, it is very surprising. Jesus is faced by a huge crowd, 5,000 people, or 5,000 men, and perhaps women and children besides. That's a lot of hungry mouths to feed. And yet he's able to provide for them. And did you notice, as we were reading, the little eyewitness details that were there? Let me pop up verses 10 and 11 on screen. So Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." And he spotted this. There was plenty of grass in that place. It's almost like the person who's writing this down was there. You can remember the lush green grass on the hillside with the lake shimmering down below. And Jesus has gone up onto that hillside, and there's a lovely green grass where the people can sit down in comfort and the beautiful sunny day where they can rest their weary legs as they sit down and listen to Jesus' teaching and enjoy this amazing meal. So there was plenty of grass in that place. What an eyewitness detail that is. And they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. You see, it's a vast crowd spread out on the hillside that Jesus and his disciples are looking out at with fear and trepidation, because there were plenty of people, but there wasn't plenty of food to go around. There was no Tesco's or Deliveroo to be able to help them out. But what happens? Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks to God, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. So it turns out there was plenty of food, because Jesus provides. This is one of the wonderful things that we see in this story, that when there isn't enough, Jesus is the one who has the power to step in and provide. Jesus provides wonderfully for this enormous crowd, far beyond what they could imagine would be possible on a barren hillside in the area of Galilee. And this is a pattern that we see through the whole Bible time and again. God provides for his people in desperate times. Perhaps you spotted the little detail in verse 4 as we were reading through as well. I've not got that to pop up on the screen, but it said there that the Jewish Passover festival is near. Now that's interesting, isn't it? That's an odd detail to include at this point. Now what were they celebrating at the Jewish Passover festival? Perhaps we know the Bible stories. The Jewish Passover festival was the time that they celebrated their escape from Egypt. They were in a desperate situation. They were slaves in a foreign land, held captive by a hostile king. And the Passover is the feast that they celebrate as God provides for them. He brings them out of Egypt. But he brings them into a wilderness, into a place where there was no food. And they start getting worried and anxious, like there's not going to be any way for them to survive this journey. And yet again, God provides bread from heaven, the manna, the food in the wilderness. Well, here is Jesus doing the same sort of thing, providing food in a barren place in the wilderness where there is no food. Because one of the things that John wants us to see in this story is that Jesus is the God who provides. He is God in human form. This is one of the signs that we're looking at in John's Gospel. Do you remember we've seen various signs so far? Water turned into wine, a poorly boy healed at a distance, a man able to walk after 38 years. Well, here's the next sign. And all of these signs are pointers. You know, a signpost has got a sign fixed to it. It's pointing somewhere. Well, all of these miracles are pointing to Jesus and his identity. So John writes at the end of his Gospel, "These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." Can you see the signpost, the pointer in this story here that Jesus provides? He provides life for these people who would be in danger of wasting away without any food. But more importantly, he provides eternal life for his people. Now, there are all sorts of ways that we can feel like we don't have enough. I can think of times in recent years when I've been worried about my work situation. Am I going to have a job? Feeling overwhelmed by lockdown and the isolation and the challenge of juggling everything around the home. Now, these problems aren't easy. They're not quickly solved. But I can truly say that Jesus has provided in those situations. Jesus provides in our day-to-day lives, but best of all, he provides life in his name, eternal life, that wonderful hope for the future. And so Jesus provides, and so we can trust him to provide. Whether it's in our day-to-day lives, or more importantly, for our eternal future, Jesus provides. So where are you seeing Jesus provide at the moment? I wonder if you can think about what's happening in life. Where are you seeing Jesus provide? Because he does provide in wonderful, miraculous, inexplicable ways, like he does in this story here. So that's the first surprising detail. When we stop and think about what he actually does here, this amount of food for this amount of people, it is shocking. The second surprising detail that I'd like us to focus in on is this, that Jesus tests. Jesus tests his disciples. This is perhaps a bit unexpected, certainly rather uncomfortable, I think. But Jesus wants his disciples to grow. He wants us to grow in faith, in our trust in him. And so he tests the disciples. He puts them on the spot. Did you see that in verse 5? Let me read this out to you. So when Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" And then listen to this, verse 6. He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Jesus is testing his disciples. He's asking them an uncomfortable question. What are we going to do? And it's a test to see how they're going to respond. Are they going to panic? Are they going to run away? Are they going to come to the one who can solve it? There's a minuscule amount of food that they've got. Andrew steps forward, doesn't he, with this boy's packed lunch, five small barley loaves, five bread rolls, and two small fish. But how far will they go with so many? Andrew asks. And it's a good question. They're not going to go very far, are they? Unless you've got Jesus with you. Because when Jesus is there, Jesus is the one who provides, they can come to him. And so this is a test. Will they turn to the one who can deal with the situation? And I guess when we're faced with challenges, it may well be that Jesus is putting us to the test. He's letting us go into a difficult situation because he wants us to feel the difficulty of it. And he wants us to think, what am I going to do? Where am I going to turn? And he wants to show us how he can wonderfully provide in those situations. As we learn our limits, as we learn what we cannot do, we can wonder all the more at what he can do. He wants us to learn about his provision, his leading. In recent weeks, I've started to get out on my bike again. My health has picked up. The weather, well, it's not been great, but there's been a few days where it's been slightly more sunny. And I'm learning just how weak my muscles have got after being, sat on a sofa for large parts of the early stages of this year. And I don't know if you've found that, if you've tried to get out and get some exercise after being idle for a while, your muscles ache. But as they are exercised, as they're stretched, as they're tested, they begin to gain strength again. They begin to grow, and they don't hurt quite so much after I've been out for a bike ride now as they did a few weeks ago. Well, that's the sort of thing that Jesus is doing with his disciples here, the sort of thing that Jesus does for us, that he wants to test us so that we can grow our faith muscles, we can exercise them and see him at work, even in tricky situations. So we can trust him through the tests in life. Because there are tests in life. They come along. There are things that are difficult and challenging. We're feeling lots of them at the moment. But Jesus can and will provide. He'll provide for the things of here and now. But ultimately, he will provide for eternal life. So I wonder, what are you finding testing at the moment? And what is Jesus wanting to teach you through that? Jesus loves to teach us, even in the hardest of times, because it enables us to see more clearly how he provides. So that's the second little unexpected detail in this story. And then I just want to pick up a third and final one as well. And it's that Jesus withdraws. And again, this is, I think, is quite an unexpected ending to this story. The people have been following him because they've been seeing signs. And what does Jesus do at the end? Well, after the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Well, Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. So the people have seen the amazing things that Jesus has been doing, and they're thinking, "Well, who is this? Could this be the prophet that Moses spoke about?" Frank was preaching on Deuteronomy chapter 18 a few weeks ago at the other morning service. And one of the things that Moses says is that there's going to be a prophet coming who will speak God's words and everyone will have to listen to him. And here is Jesus speaking God's words and doing like Moses did, providing bread in the wilderness. So you can see the logic of the people here. Could this be the prophet? Could it be a king that we should be installing to rule over us? Well, Jesus is a different kind of leader. Jesus is a king, he is a prophet, but he's not the kind of king that comes and sets up a kingdom in this world by force. Jesus is a king who rules over the whole universe and over God's kingdom, which we can't see installed in this world by force. And so that's why Jesus withdraws. He steps back from the crowd. He hides himself away because he needs them to learn that his kingdom is a different kind of kingdom. His provision for eternal life is what is really important, not some military rule here and now. And they like having Jesus as their king because it works. They're very pragmatic here. They can see that he provides bread to eat, so they want to stick with him. They can see his power. But as Jesus withdraws and as he pushes the crowds further with his teaching, actually by the end of this chapter, the end of John chapter 6, large parts of the crowd are leaving him. So let me just pop those words up on the screen. This is the end of John 6. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. You do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. So Jesus tested the 12 and they came to see what was really important. The crowds, on the other hand, well, they started disappearing off when Jesus refused to just keep on providing bread for them. They were just sort of following Jesus because it looked like it worked, because it provided an instant gratification. And I wonder if that's a bit of a challenge to us about why we're following Jesus. Are we following him because it seems like it works, because it provides a friendly community, because he looks after our day-to-day needs, because he provides a crutch to lean on when things are tough? Or are we following Jesus because of that hope of eternal life to come? The provision that really counts. Because Jesus withdraws from the crowds to teach them that he's got something bigger and better for them. And Jesus has got that bigger and better thing for us as well, eternal life. And as we come to enjoy communion together in a few moments' time, Jesus, the bread of life, is the one who isn't here to make life comfortable for us now. Sometimes he'll even test us and push us into difficult situations. But he wants to keep us for eternal life. In some places when they give out the bread, they say the bread of life, the blood of Christ, keep you in eternal life. It's that eternal life that Jesus wants us to fix our eyes on, which is why he withdraws from the crowd. So three surprising things in the true story from the Bible that we've been looking at. Jesus provides wonderfully. We can trust him in that. Jesus tests. Even in those tests, we can trust him. Jesus withdraws because he wants us to trust him for eternal life, not just the bits and pieces of here and now. So let's pray. Father, thank you for this story that shows us the wonderful provision that Jesus has made, the bread of life, the one who keeps us for eternal life. We thank you for the day-to-day provisions that we experience, for the ways that you've sustained us through difficult days in recent months. But we ask, Lord, that you would fix our eyes particularly on that hope of eternal life, that we would see that Jesus' kingdom is not of this world, and that we would set our hopes in the right place, knowing that Jesus can provide richly for us in that eternal home. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.